God is faithful to his promises. God never had a plan B in case the first one didn't work out. You know, I need plans B, C, D, E, F, G, Z, but not the Lord. Elsewhere in the New Testament, in his letter to the Ephesians, St. Paul states that God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Let me say that again. Before creation, God had already chosen you and me in Christ. You and I aren't accidents. And Christ isn't plan B because Adam and Eve sinned. Before creation, God knew that he would lose us and how he would save us. So in our first reading from the book of Samuel, when God promised to David a son whose kingdom and throne would stand firm forever, he had Jesus in mind. And the same is true for our responsorial psalm, the promise of the Lord, I will sing forever. In that second reading today from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, he writes that this mystery of you and me, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, this mystery has been revealed in order to bring about the obedience of faith. I think that's really an important phrase in which St. Paul practically equates obedience and faith. The obedience that is faith. Faith as a kind of obedience. Now let's put that together with the fact that God chose you and me in Christ before the foundation of the world. How many times in school, on the playground, did two captains choose teammates for the kickball game coming up, or whatever game it was, right? And once you were chosen, whether you were first, middle, or last, once you were chosen, it was expected that you would join the team and play for the team. And playing for the team implies trusting the captain and your teammates, and at the very least, obeying the rules of the game. Having been chosen for the team, there's a type of obedience of faith that's expected of us. We can refuse, but then we don't get to play. And we lose out on the glory of winning, and maybe lose out in a number of other ways as well. So where are you in your obedience of faith? The captain is Christ, and he has the winning team. Do you trust your captain and his team, whom we call the church? And do you trust your teammates? How engaged are you in the game? Now, of course, the Christian life isn't just a game. It's very real, with real winners and real losers. Certainly, Satan and his demons are real losers. And here, winning has nothing to do with being athletic, but it has everything to do with trusting and obeying the captain and his team. This very familiar gospel today is beautifully connected both with the promises of God and the obedience of faith. Look at the very first line in that gospel again. The angel Gabriel was sent from God. God sent his angel Gabriel. Gabriel comes to Mary on behalf of God. This is part of the plan of God. This mighty angel radiant, awesome in nature, bearing a message from God, comes to the lowly virgin. The lowly virgin. I call her lowly because that's how Mary later in the gospel describes herself. Mighty angel, mighty Gabriel comes from God and approaches the lowly virgin, and it's as though he becomes lowly before her. Hail, full of grace. Hail, the Lord is with you. And before she can even reply, he just sees her puckered brow, her confusion, and he rushes on. Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And he reveals the mystery of her chosenness. And God didn't just choose Mary that morning. In fact, he didn't just choose Mary after Eve's sin in the garden. Mary, too, had been chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. And so because Mary also was chosen, Mary also needed to respond with the obedience of faith. And Mary's obedience of faith wasn't a blind obedience. Notice that she asked for clarification regarding God's plan for her. And praise God that she asked the question, because the angel gave one of the most beautiful responses in all of Scripture. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. In the Old Testament, the glory of the Lord filled the meeting tent in the desert, and it filled the temple there in Jerusalem. But Mary is not just filled with the glory of the Lord, but with the Holy Spirit himself. This is something that's foreshadowed in the Old Testament, and yet it's radically new and so much bigger than what the Old Testament foreshadowed. This coming and overshadowing of the Holy Spirit will lead to Mary conceiving the Son of God. And while she most certainly didn't understand it all, that's why she had to keep pondering it over and over again in her heart. Mary was the first human being to hear that God is a Trinity and that God has a Son. This is what Mary was chosen for. And it's at this moment that her obedience of faith is so important. The angel delivers his message, and then he waits. The mighty angel waits on the lowly virgin. If we want to bring a mighty angel to nod his head to us, just as he did to Mary, then we need to become lowly as well. And in our lowliness, even more importantly, we need to respond with the obedience of faith. Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." Our captain's team, the church, calls us to two masses this weekend. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word. And notice how the gospel concludes. Upon receiving the obedience of Mary's faith, it was as though the angel himself becomes awestruck. With the obedience of Mary's faith, the Holy Spirit overshadowed her, filled her, and she conceived the God-man in her womb. And Gabriel fled back to God. Then the angel departed from her. With the obedience of faith, we too are filled with the Holy Spirit. And spiritually speaking, that is an awesome and overwhelming sight. When we are obedient to God, then the Holy Spirit becomes the primary actor in our lives. And God does great things in our lives. His promises aren't just to King David or Mother Mary or St. Paul, they're to you and me. So I ask you to join me right now in the obedience of faith, using the very words of the Blessed Mother in response to Gabriel. So I just ask you to lay your hands on your lap, palms up, to close your eyes, and with all your heart and mind and soul and strength, to say with me, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word."